Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Det här är Teach Me Sweden. Det här är en historiepodcast, men ändå inte riktigt, för det är ju humor inblandat. Det är två komiker som försöker lära varandra svensk historia. Jag heter Erik Broström.
And I'm Jonathan Rollins, and in this episode I'll be teaching Eric all about a man who used to be on the money.
Yeah. And Jonathan is about to plant some knowledge in me.
Yes, I am. And it will grow. It will grow. I will chlorophyll you with knowledge.
Oh, let's go!
Photosynthesis.
Chaka, ooga, ooga.
Oh, yeah. I think of Reservoir Dogs.
Yes, yeah.
Love that movie.
You know it's a Swede, right?
Yes, yeah. Björn Skifs.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Why would I not? He's my favorite Swedish voice.
Of course, he's awesome. Jag var så nära på att ta Björn Skifs som story.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
But his song just turned 50 years old. It would have made sense.
Yes, that's antagligen därför jag fick tanken. Because I didn't know it was one of the first American billboards that a Swede got. It was that, and I think it was ABBA, Waterloo.
Okay.
At the same time, same year.
See, nice. Yeah, because they just got the 50 year too. Mm-hmm. I did a ABBA, I do hangs with my audience,
mm-hmm.
where I do like live, just sit down and dive into some music.
Put reactions, yeah.
On my channel, yeah. I just sit at home, and now, I used to do it here, but I was like, shit, I gotta be there on a Tuesday night. Uh-huh. So now I started doing it at home, it's easier to do it, and I did an ABBA night. Because nice. I don't know much of ABBA's music.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're white, and it's not my fault, it's my parents' fault. Fantastic music. I love their disco type music the most.
Yeah.
They had some bangers, man.
Yeah.
The whole night it was just a nice vibe, yeah.
Vissa låtar är jävligt bra.
They're good, man.
Jag och Mia har en kompis som heter Lisa Bengtsson. Hon är med i Mamma Mia the Musical.
Okay.
It's really fun. We saw it in Gothenburg, but now she moved here and she does it. They have it right by Gröna Lund in a venue. But we went in Göteborg. But you come, it's like an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and you sit at this Greek tavern. It's from the musical movie.
Okay.
Mamma Mia, yeah. So, and they play out this this story. And they're waiting on the tables. And it's like they're integrating the audience in some way. Okay. You just sit there. All the ABBA songs are like plot points in the story. Okay. It's really nice. We're doing, actually, my friend and I, Björn, vi skrev en musikal som heter Stalin the Musical, which is a comedy. And he's doing a thing now in April. I think it's bara några dagar. Stalin the Party. So you're going to do the same thing, but it's going to be Soviet. It's going to be the 1950s or 40s. And it's going to be like, you know, shitty food and you know, like the same thing but without all the glamour and warmth.
It's the potatoes.
Yeah. I hope I can go.
Eat potato.
Han gör det ganska själv. Jag är inte involverad i det, but I
like
to
it
see
a lot.
That. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, you know what I'm looking forward to?
The story you're about
I'm
to tell me.
I'm looking forward to teaching you about a little bit of Sweden.
I love it.
It's going to be a person today.
Huh?
Yes, a very important person. You might know this. I'm a little worried. You might know some.
I might. I mean,
if this was an American, everybody in America would know about this person.
Kolla, jag kanske vet vem det är, men jag kommer inte veta.
No, I know. I know you'll be learning. You will learn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just know that in America, we would just if an American did what this guy, it's a guy, what he did, they we'd be just he'd be on coins and shit.
Oh,
the person is Carl von Linné.
Oh,
also known as Carlos Linnaeus.
Jag har tänkt så här, ska jag göra Carl von Linné? I just thought it was so boring.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I love that you're doing it.
I'm gonna spice it up.
I love that you're doing it, though.
It was born on May 13th,
yeah,
1707,
uh-huh,
in Roshult. There's going to be a visual element to this. We're going to follow his movements,
yeah,
throughout Sweden in a little bit of this. So those of you that are watching this, you get to see.
Wait, he was on 100 crowner. He was on the old 100 crowner.
Oh, see?
Yeah, he okay. got his money.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, he deserves it.
Yeah, thank you.
But Roshult, if you don't know where that's at, it's in the Stenbrohult parish of Småland.
Oh, it's alla hult är ju Småland oftast.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I learned something
today. I think so.
He was the eldest son of Nils Linnaeus, who was a priest,
uh-huh,
and an amateur botanist.
Oh.
Yeah, as his father. And Christina, Broder Sonia, is his mother,
uh-huh,
who was a woman.
Yes.
He had several siblings, Anna Maria, Sophia, Juliana, Samuel, and Emerentia. Oof, Emerentia.
Emerentia.
Yeah.
That's a poor child.
Emerentia sounds like a short sentence.
Yeah.
In Spanish, like your name is a short Spanish sentence.
The låt som man säger så, Emerentia.
The baby, is this the baby? What's the baby's name? Emerentia.
Emerentia.
The doctor just like, write it down, whatever.
Yeah.
She's losing her mind.
It's
like,
it's my brand of Gudfaden. Let's see. Corleone, and it's the where he's from. Yeah.
From an early age, he showed interest in plants, especially flowers.
Uh-huh.
Marijuana.
Of course.
No, his father encouraged it because his father was a botanist.
Mm-hmm.
And he even gave him a little plot of land.
I'm sorry, amateur botanist.
Yeah. You're not certified, sir. Don't just be throwing that around. You know what we botanists go through? You got your degree?
You in the union?
Do you pay your dues? So his father was like, I want you to be more. He was a plant dad. You know plant dads.
Plant dads, of course.
Like the football dad, yeah, sports dads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, go out there, grow it. Grow it. More water. You're never going to be a botanist if you don't water your plants properly.
Oh, that word for that and a botanist, that's fucking amazing.
Oh, man. It's like
a plant dad.
What do they call him? Like tiger moms. He's a Venus fly dad.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
My dad's a Venus fly dad. Got to get home and water my plants.
I'll never hear the end of it.
So he got his own. His dad gave him his own little plot of land.
Oh.
To cultivate in the garden.
Oh, nice.
So he's like, I got my garden here. Here's your spot, son. Maybe you'll be something one day.
Också bra sätt för att säga, don't fuck up my flowers.
Yeah, exactly. Go make potatoes. Make some Persian.
Here's your
Peruvian
fail pile.
You call that a tomato?
I call it a tomato. Hey!
Oh! But this was an early exposure to him to botany, to get to mess around like that.
Cool.
He got private education at home,
mm-hmm,
until he went to school in Växjö.
Nice.
And that's when he got introduced to broader botany and medicine by a local physician there, Johan Rothman. He was a physician and botanist.
Huh.
And then he got more interested in botany. That was the thing that he got drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
Then in university, he went to Lund, and then he later went to Uppsala like they all do.
Yep.
Because Rothman said you should do that.
I mean, even the fucking Vikings went there.
Really?
Yes.
To Uppsala. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, they studied plundering and
raping.
I'm taking rape and pillage 101. What are you doing later? After lunch. they don't go in and get lunch. They take lunch.
Yeah.
You go in the cafeteria. We are going to the cafeteria.
What are you doing for lunch? I'm doing it violently.
I kill a couple. At Uppsala, he studied medicine, botany, and he started getting good with the professors too. They were just like, this guy.
Good with the professors?
Yeah, like they're like, oh man, he's a star pupil.
Oh, I thought you meant he gives them more than an apple.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But he got access to extensive botanical libraries because of that. Because okay. He's so into it. He's obviously like, this is his thing. He's good at it. He knows his shit. Let's let him just have access to all of the botany, the botanical stuff.
That's nice.
So he was quickly, his potential was quickly recognized. And then he started, as a student, he started teaching at Uppsala University.
Like DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can?
This is about the Sweden's biggest scam artist. So then his lectures started, he started doing lectures.
Yeah.
And then large audiences started coming.
Wow.
Yeah. And he continued to delve into classification of plants. He started looking into that. And then the study of botany and giving these lectures. And I don't know if this part's true, but I'm going to assume he started getting botany groupies.
Of course. What's going on? Det fanns inga rockstjärnor. That's a rock star.
Yeah, he's a, exactly. That's what I was thinking. He's like at the school, star pupil, teaching while being a student.
Doing big venues.
Yeah, he's doing the work, man.
Talking about pollinating, that's dangerous talk. That'll corrupt the youth.
Yeah, his dirty. His cat calls are to die for. Yeah.
Vi måste stoppa Carl. Tror inte vi förstår vad han menar när han säger pollinera.
He said, what's up, girl? nice buds you got there.
Time to pollinate.
Can I plant my roots?
Oh!
In your, I don't know.
I got some seeds for you.
I'm going to chlorophyll that pussy up.
Oh, my God. Taking it further. Let me further. Chlorophyll that
wow. A plant cat call is hilarious.
Jesus, yeah.
Then he said he wanted to take his show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, not show, but I wrote that. But
touring.
He wanted to go and discover more of life, animals and plants and stuff. So he's going to go around. And this is when can you switch the...
Oh, yeah. You got a map prepared.
Yeah, I'm going to show you the journey that this gentleman took.
So he starts, because he's from Småland.
Yes, he's from Småland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm blind, so I'm trying to look at this map.
Right. Well, that's very north. That's not Småland. So you need to go down.
No, he's from Småland. Yeah, he's from there.
Oh.
But he didn't start there. He started in... Wait a second. All of my stuff is gone.
Oh, no. Did you highlight stuff?
No, not highlight, but...
Oh, you got the landskap and the name of the landskap.
I can't see on there. Sorry, y'all. If you're watching, then you'll see.
No, this is awesome content. There it is.
Yeah, I just had this.
Yeah, okay, so smart. So he went the furthest north.
Yeah, so he started. He's a smart guy, man.
He goes to Lapland and he works himself home.
So I'm going to mark it where he says. He starts there in Lapland.
Yep.
And he goes there to discover new plants, animals, and potentially valuable minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wanted to study local population. So this dude's just kind of like recording stuff. So he's like, oh, in Lapland, they don't like blacks. You know what I mean? Or whatever. And
observation,
you know what his main observation was, honestly, is that there were the Sami people in Lapland.
Yeah.
So he got funding from the Royal Society of Sciences in Uppsala for his journey, and he began on May 12th, 1732, the day before his birthday.
Oh.
So it was like a birthday present.
Not big on celebrating?
No. He's like, I'm going to celebrate, but looking at the Sami.
Yeah. There's people up there.
So he went both on foot and by horse through Lapland.
At the same time? No,
How does he do it? Does that horse have five legs? No, it's a botanist.
Genius.
So he traveled on foot and by horse. He brought his journal, botanical and ornithological manuscripts, and a paper for pressing plants. I guess that's what they use to like look and...
To save it so it doesn't,
He discovered and observed many plants, birds, and stones, and he described approximately 100 species that had never been recorded before.
Of course, it's Norrland.
Yeah.
No, that's unfair. That was uncalled for, Eric.
It was funny as if the Sami were like, no, we've been doing this. de We're just assuming. But it said recorded before.
Han kommer ut och bara, vad är det där, en ren? Ja, ni har aldrig sett den här förut. Jo, nej. Vi lever på de här djuren. This is what we do.
I didn't think about that element of it. That, yeah, so it hadn't been recorded.
Right.
Before.
Därför att samerna har, för att det var ingen som frågade dem.
Right. The discoveries formed the basis of a book he wrote called Flora Laponica, or Laponica.
Uh-huh.
It was published in 1737. So he went there, learned about this area, and writes a book. And he used Latin names to describe organisms.
Right.
Since he hadn't, well, you'll see later that he came up with another way to do it.
Other than Latin?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then later, posthumously, his notes were found, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
They learned a lot because he didn't publish the Sami people part. So a lot of what we know about the Sami people, what we first learned, were from his writings about his observations.
Oh, what was his take? What fick han reda
på? Ugly. He said ugly people. No, I don't know exactly what his take was. But it's just like, it was just not. He would observe. Like their daily, like movements and stuff like that. Like they do this, and they're a kind. You know, maybe they cook outside. You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
But I don't have any of his actual observations.
Because I got this. I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I hope that I don't come out as mildly racist. Mm. But this is well intended, and this is not me. This is my okay. Sorry. Nu gör jag en hörna av en fjärde.
Yeah, just go.
I'm just gonna go. Mitt ex var. Finsk, eller hennes föräldrar var från Finland. Hon,
okay.
Hon pratade som jag, men hon kunde också prata finska, så hon pratade inte så. Whatever. Men hon hade också, hon hade sameblod. De hade den släkten liksom. Och hon sa, tror jag, att samerna kom från Asien. Och att de har vandrat hela vägen och sen liksom bosatt sig längs vägen i Ryssland, Finland och norra Sverige.
Okej. Okay.
I don't know if it's true or if I just made it up. Jag är inte säker på att de sa det. Och att det är därför, för att de har lite, deras ögonstruktur kan påminna.
Yeah.
This is where same I become mildly racist.
No, it's the same with the natives in the US.
Yeah, got almond, little almond shape, yeah.
Yeah, or yeah. When I lived in Alaska, and you had the Inuits.
Yeah.
And they have like a little Asian hint to them.
Yeah, because they wander there too. East like Asian, no, nomads be walking. That's what they do.
Yeah. So that was then, and then he went to Dalarna.
Okay. He just skipped
all Jämtland.
Oh fuck Jämtland! Those are the where we're our own country, right?
The traitors. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. love you, Jämtland. Yeah. But right, and he skipped Härjedalen, and I don't know geography. Ångermanland.
It says it on the map. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't read. What is that? Under Ångermanland. What is
Medelpad.
And then
Hälsingland.
Hälsingland.
Where they say hello to each other.
Yeah. And then Dalarna.
Järfridsdalarna. I don't know what that's.
Men det kanske var för att han bara så här. Ah, men det är samma här, det är samma här, det är samma. Så kom han till Dalarna och bara, this is beautiful.
No, the reason he went to Dalarna is because the Nils Reuterholm, who was in, it says, it translates to the governor of Dalarna, but I don't know what those people are called. I don't want to say, it's like the,
can that be?
Not the Borgmästare, but like the person over all of Dalarna, proposed that he come. He's like, hey man, I like what you did up in what was the first place? Lapland.
Was that his old teacher, Nils Rottman? No.
No, this is
no, this is another one.
Nils Reuterholm.
Another Nils in Sweden?
What? But he proposed that he come and do the same thing. He was like, come check out our, let's see what we got here. Maybe you can find some cool shit here.
Cool.
So he funded a journey for him. And then Linnaeus was like, you know what? I'm going to get some students with me too. I'm not going to do this alone. He got 7 students from Uppsala, the roadies.
Groupies.
And groupies. So he's like, they're deadheads, but they're like plant heads.
Oh, nice.
And they travel north from Falun.
Yeah.
Which is the bottom of Dalarna, right?
Uh-huh.
They traveled north on July 3rd of that year. And during the journey, they visited places like Bjursås, Leksand, Rättvik, Åre, Orsa, Mora, Älvdalen, and other places. There's more cities. I won't name them all.
They're so great.
And then finally, they did that for 2 months. A little over two. No, 1 month. For until August 17th.
Oh, so. In the summer. Best time.
And they also were like, you know what? Let's go to Norway a little bit. And they went to the city of Røros. to collect information about the mining operations. So the governor wanted to see that too.
Okay.
Because so, I guess it is adjacent to Norway.
Was it ours then?
Norway in 1700s? I don't know. I wish I should have looked that up. But it must not have been considered Sweden at the time.
Nah, men det var det inte när vi ägde den då, för de var ändå så.
Yeah, exactly.
Vi säger att det var vi som ägde det.
So he wrote a book about this journey as well.
Uh-huh.
Smart man to try to monetize it.
Right, yeah.
He made sequels. A YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He called his journey Flora Dalekarlika. It could have just said Dalarna. He could have just said
the
flowers of Dalarna.
Yeah.
But that was describing all the plants of Dalarna.
Mm-hmm.
He also decided, I'll document the customs, traditions, and clothing of the region.
Jaha.
He was like, oh, they dress like idiots.
Det känns som att han är lite överallt, men det känns inte så strukturerat. Det är typ så här, plants, right? Yeah. People, yeah.
Rocks?
Vad är det med plantorna?
Stones?
Ja, med plantorna. Ja, men när de lagar mat och så, jag vill bara veta. Och så, vad har de på sig? Okej, men plantorna. Jag är botanist som min far.
He's the first ADHD.
He's just interested.
The first case of, yeah, he's just an interested guy. Yeah. Just a curious man.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Then he went back to Uppsala, and him and Nils Rosén, they were falling out a little bit.
Oh.
And then his friend, Kleiss, invited him to spend Christmas with the family in Falun.
What was that name? Kleiss. Okay, yeah,
Kleiss, I'm sorry. And then when he went there, he met 18-year-old Sara Elizabeth Moray. How old is he now? 1734.
And this is 17.
And he was born in 1707. So it's not too bad. 24?
No, it's just, yeah. And she was 18?
Mm-hmm.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. It's legit. Go for it.
So he meets her. What was her name again? Sara Elizabeth Moray. M-O-R-A-E-A. Moray. It was one of the A the attached to the E. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's a weird, yeah.
Sara Elizabeth Moray.
That's not a Swedish letter formation.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
So he was instantly drawn to her because she was 18 and a woman. He's like, oh, my God. And she was drawn to him, too, because he was this brilliant botanist.
Yeah.
With the groupies. He initially hesitated about proposing due to his modest means. Like, that's the first thing you do, bro? But the dad was like, it's okay if he's broke.
Yeah.
He's gonna be something.
That's progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like coming to America. He's got his own money.
Yeah.
When I say he's got his own money, he's got his own money. Pull out 100.
I thought he was just working in that Peruvian night treasure restaurant. Mopping the floor.
Yeah, he's just mopping the floor, man. But he said, you can marry my daughter, but I know you're broke, but you need to get your degree abroad.
Uh-huh.
He was like, because that was the thing they did back then.
Uh-huh. But to the mere, if I'm a phone, it's like...
I guess it was more, it's more prestigious to go to another country. And a lot of people went to the Netherlands.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So our boy Carl, he went to the Netherlands.
Of course. Smoke some weed, and go to a strip joint, and get a degree.
But the guy, Solberg, Klaus,
yeah,
he sent his son with him. So Klaus...
Okay.
But it's not... Klaus is not related to the girl, to the...
No.
But that's how he met her, was through them.
Okay.
But then he was like, goes with the son.
So he takes the child to Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Jesus.
to continue his education and obtain his doctorate. And it was common at the time, like I said. And then...
And then he became a doctor in botany. That was his, like, degree.
He... Well, wait a second. He got it. He got his degree really fast in here. On the journey, they stopped in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shown a supposed seven-headed hydra. The mayor showed a seven... I don't know what a hydra is. It must type of plant.
Oh, I thought a hydra is... Seven-headed hydra. I thought that was a fantasy animal.
Okay, I don't know. But Linnaeus quickly identified it as fake.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a dragon with seven heads.
Okay. He said it's composed of animal parts sewn together.
What a idiot German.
And then the mayor was going to sell it for a lot of money, but now he got exposed by Linnaeus, and everybody's like, this dude's a fucking superhero. This is on his way to get his doctorate. This is like, let me ruin this whole thing for you.
Man, jag hade också kunnat säga att det var fake.
So he got there and he started working on his doctorate. And then it was a place called Hardervik.
Hardervik?
Hardervik. W-I-J-K. H-E-R-D-E-R-W-I-J-K. Hardervik.
Okay.
That's where he went to get his doctorate. But that was they were known for giving out doctorates pretty quickly.
Oh.
Yeah. So he submitted a thesis on the cause of malaria.
Okay.
And he theorized that it was due to split particles blocking the body's pores. We all know, you and I know, that's not true.
Of course. But I was just going to say bullshit. Yeah.
His theory was incorrect, but he did accurately predict that traditional Chinese medicines, particularly wormwood, could lead to a cure for malaria. And they were like, shit. They were impressed by his thesis.
He cured malaria?
He didn't cure it.
Okay.
But he predicted that the Chinese, their techniques would be the source for the cure.
It's such a big part of the world, so you got like a 30% chance of being right.
They didn't do population counts back then.
No,
he went there and counted every Chinese person.
Yeah, but it's a big country. Like, who's going to solve it? Well, China,
India.
Is U.S. a thing yet?
Russia?
Not really? Okay, yeah.
Is it Russia, China, or India?
Russia, okay. Well, let's go with China.
Yeah, China feels good. They got those Sami eyes. So.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them up north.
I've seen them. I've seen that they're very smart people.
My thesis is that the Samis moved down to Asia, and that's how we now have Chinese people.
Makes sense.
Amazing, man.
So he got his degree in less than 2 weeks.
Of course, being wrong and getting a degree is not that hard. I can get it in 2 seconds.
Then he got a friend in Amsterdam. His name was Pieter Artedi. Mm-hmm. A-R-T-E-D-I. And he drowned, this guy, Peter.
Did he kill him? No, what?
He just drowned. He was, trying to swim and didn't work out.
This
normally
is a weird part of the biopic. I'm Peter. Hi, I'm Paul. Let's go for a swim.
I should say, I mean, the friend wasn't mentioned before, but he had a friend that was there.
Okay, he was with him the whole time. Yeah.
So the friend drowned, but before he drowned, not right before, but like...
He said, let's go skinny dipping.
Before drowning, before he died, he had said to him, if whichever one of us dies, the other one should publish our work. They made a pact.
Oh.
So he held it up. He published Artedi's Philosophia Ichthyologica posthumously.
Okay. What was it about?
I thought you knew what that was.
No.
It's a work that is still considered foundational in modern ichthyology, which is, as we all know, the study of fish.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
fishology.
That's just another thing he did. He just put that out there. He believed in his friend's work, put it out, and then it created a foundation for the study of fish.
Nice. The band Fish, of course. Yes. Yes. My favorite.
I didn't tell the spelling of that, but yes. In the Netherlands, he met a guy named, a scientist named Johan Frederik Gronovius, and they shared their work, and they had a new plant classification system that he had created.
Uh-huh.
And Gronovius was impressed. And he's like, I'll help pay for the publishing of this work. And then it was the work was called Systema Naturae, like the natural system.
Yeah. That rings a bell.
And it's an important work for modern systematics.
Hmm.
And it describes the relationship of plants and animals in terms of kingdoms, classes, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
And orders, families, genera, genera, and species.
Like if it's a mammal or like, yeah.
And he later refers, a lot is going on. And I was surprised at how much of the Netherlands was involved in all of this.
Right.
He befriended one of the Netherlands' most respected physicians and botanists, Herman Boerhaave, who offered him opportunities in the Netherlands. But he said, no, I don't want to go to South Africa or America. That's what he was offered, because it's too hot.
Huh.
He declined to go there. And then instead, he met another botanist named Johannes Burdeman, who he met through this Boerhaave guy. And he said, why don't you stay here for the winter? He's like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll stay in the cold.
What an, okay.
Very non-Swedish thing to do.
Let's go to Miami. Nah.
But then that helped him complete another work called Fundamenta Botanica,
mm-hmm,
and Bibliotheca Botanica.
So he's Bibliotheca, like, Botanica. Mm-hmm. It's like learning Spanish almost.
Yeah. So like that book, Systema Naturae, changed the game.
Right.
The botany game.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I know that name. Yeah.
Then he went to England. He had a little time in England. He met several important figures in the field of botany. You'll know these people, but our listeners might not. So, oh, we can switch this back to.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, for their benefit, let's just name them. We all know.
Just name the for the people's benefit. It was he met Philip Miller.
Ah.
Yeah. And Miller was a significant figure in botany.
Of course,
he wrote the Gardner's Dictionary.
Right.
And that's what. But Linnaeus was kind of apprehensive about supporting it because he used a different class. He didn't use his classification system.
Oh no!
Yeah, nerves of him.
The nerves of the nerd. Yeah. He just made up names, and another one wouldn't do it, and then he became upset.
And then there was Joseph Pitton, right?
I hate him.
Yeah.
What a fucking douchebag.
And then John Ray.
Oh, I love him.
Two first names. Gotta love him.
I love him. Yeah. He's two people.
So then he went to Oxford and he met Johann Jacob Delenius.
Nice.
Who I feel like I had heard that name before this, but he was known for his works. He wrote Hortus Elthamensis. That's his sister's name, right?
Yes. Amarantia.
And that was a detailed account of the plants found in Eltham. And he didn't embrace the classification system at first, but they stayed professional. People were hating on this new system,
mm-hmm,
even though eventually it got brought in and everybody uses it now. But even though they had their little beef, Linnaeus named a plant genus after this guy, Delenia.
Oh. Was it a smelly plant? Was it a little bit of a fuck you in it?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. But he connected with all of these influential figures, and then he got known in the botany world. Like, this dude's the real deal.
Cool.
The Swedish guy. And then he came back to Sweden in 1738.
Yeah.
He was 150 years old in 1738. And he went and got... He got with her, with his lady, Sarah Elizabeth. And then he moved to Stockholm. Because now he had his doctorate. He was able to marry her. He's a promising dude.
They don't want their hits.
He moved to Stockholm to become a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what his father-in-law told him. You need to, now that you got your doctorate, you could be a doctor. He's like, that's not how that works.
Nu måste du också bota plantorna.
He's like, how am I going to be a doctor?
Yeah, this flower has cancer. I don't know.
Tylenol. And then he met Carl Gustav Tessin, uh-huh. which is where I would implement a Robitussin joke if you were American. But yeah. you don't know about Robitussin.
Lost comedy.
Yeah. And then Carl Gustav helped him be a Navy doctor.
Oh.
This plant dude. Yeah. He's just like, hey, man, you need more sunlight. He just he offered everybody sunlight and water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I don't know, man. I got my arm shot off.
That's sunlight. Sunlight.
Have you tried a little flower? Pollen, how's your pollen?
Look at the perna blomman.
He struggled as a new doctor, believe it or not.
Of course.
But he was trying to get patients. He was trying to treat aristocrats. That's pretty smart.
Uh-huh.
With venereal diseases. Seriously.
I don't know what that's. I vet inte exakt varför det är kul, men det är väldigt kul.
He's like, oh, excuse me. You look like you have syphilis.
Du har slarvat när du har pollinerat.
He just hung out at the brothel.
Yeah.
So he was slarva. I just caught that slarva när du pollinerat. That's funny. But he would he mainly helped aristocrats with VD and older aristocratic women suffering from persistent coughs.
Oh.
Also known as venereal disease.
Yes. Is that a thing?
But then his reputation grew, man. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, I don't have this shit anymore. Go check him out. So then people started hitting him up, even Queen Ulrika Eleonora.
Det är klart han kan bota folk. Han är ju botaniker.
Go to him with your polio. He will fix you. He also contributed to founding the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences.
Uh-huh.
He was the first president of the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences. So he was holding it down in Stockholm, man.
Sure, yeah.
And he established what is now known as the Swedish Museum of Natural History.
Vilken är det? Vart ligger den? Nej, det vet du inte.
That's the big one on the like going towards like Bromma and all that.
Oh, I yes. Drive yeah, the really big one. Yeah. And they got Cosmonova there.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 I know that one. Yeah.
So then he married his lady.
Mm-hmm. Took a while.
7 months later, the son, well, he had to go to school, man. Yeah, 2 weeks in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
It's still 1739. He's moving pretty fast.
That's true, yeah.
7 months later, their son Carl was born.
Seven months later, so...
Yeah, she's pregnant already.
Pollinated.
He's a little bastard.
Pollinated outside wedlock.
Yeah, man. Mm. It's
a bastard.
A little bastard. and then they had another daughter, Elizabeth, and then Sarah, who died after 15 days, as you do back then.
Yep.
And then they had 4 more kids later, so...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Lovisa, yeah. Sarah, another Sarah, Christina, Johannes, and Sophia. And then he just kept rising in the ranks, became the professor of medicine, Uppsala University. Then he became king of Sweden. No, I'm just joking about that. I lied.
Det hade ju varit kul.
That's my first lie on this.
It's your first lie?
then he wanted to go check out Erland Gotland with some students.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the parliament commissioned this one. They're like, we believe in this guy. Go ahead. And they discovered 100 previously undocumented plants.
Huh.
And he has a book, of course, he writes a book every time.
Of course.
Erländska och Gotländska resa was the name of the book. It sounds like a children's book.
Eller hur?
And it has zoological and botanical observations and descriptions of...
Gotlänningar.
Yeah, regional culture.
De säger inte mur, de säger mur.
Then he went to Västergötland, Västergötland,
uh-huh.
in 1746, wrote a book, Västergötta resa.
Huh.
He was supposed to go to Skåne, but they're racist, so he was like, no, I'm just kidding.
Couldn't be bothered.
But he postponed it. He said he was too busy. I'm too busy for Skåne. And then King Adolf Fredrik granted him a chief physician.
Alltså, han är kungens läkare?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or archaeot, they called it.
Uh-huh.
And he was elected to the Prussian Academy of Sciences.
Wow.
And then he finally went in 1749. He was ready for Skåne. And he went down there and he visited his childhood home. And he went to a bunch of places, documenting wildlife and all of that stuff. No book. I don't see a book for that.
Huh.
But...
got sloppy.
Yeah. So he wrote so many things. He wrote like the Philosophia, Botanica, Nutrix Novarca, Species, Plantarium,
yeah.
And into the 1750s. And in his final years, he was in 1763. He stopped working at the Swedish Academy of Sciences, but officially, but he still kind of hung around and helped them move on without him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started getting sick, 1764. This is your favorite part of these type of episodes?
Any real disease?
Yeah, he got a... No, he could fix those.
Yeah.
But he got what they called at the time the Uppsala fever. Or ague, which is now known as malaria.
Oh, no.
But he got Niels Rosén took care of him. And he survived that bout with malaria.
Huh.
And then in 1773, he suffered from sciatica. That's like it's back pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then he had a stroke.
Oh,
that partially paralyzed him. Then he had another stroke in 1776 when he found out America was... No, he really had a stroke. And then he lost his movement on his right side. And he lost some memory then. And then in 77, he suffered another stroke in Savia. And it weakened him and led to his
third
death.
Third stroke?
Yeah. It led to his death at 8 o'clock in the morning, 1778.
Shit.
So he lived to be 70, what's that, 77 years old?
That's old then.
71? I don't know.
Yeah. That's old for being in the 1700s.
Yeah.
Three strokes?
Yeah. His last wish, one last thing, was to be buried unshaven.
That's weird.
Unwashed.
That's even, okay.
And unclothed, wrapped in a sheet with a coffin closed immediately so that no one can see his frailty.
Or smell him.
And his final wish was respected, but with one other instruction, not to provide food and drink to his funeral or receive condolences was not fault. That's what he wanted. He didn't want anybody to provide. He didn't want food and drink at his funeral, and he didn't want anybody to offer condolences.
Det sämsta begravningen jag har talat om.
But they didn't do that. They were of like, hell not. No, man. And that's when this whole thing is about smörgåstårta. No.
Now,
let's make a sandwich out of
this was
cake out of
this
sandwich.
Just a preview. Now the story comes.
Now the story starts. So then smörgåstårta. No. But that's it, man. That's the story of this guy who changed the game in botany. I know you thought it was going to be boring.
No, it wasn't.
But it turned out to be fun, right?
It
this dude
was.
Had a cool life. Revolutionary figure.
Vem hade kunnat ana? Men jag måste fråga bara. He wrote all those page turners, obviously, because I've been through them a lot.
Yeah.
Men vad var det han hade för system som var... För han skrev på latin först, men han gjorde något annat sen. Vad var det som var liksom grejen?
Oh, that was some they call it the by something nomenclature. So it's like I guess the two part name for stuff.
Okay. Ah, yeah.
I don't know. It never went into the whole. I didn't find like the details of the naming system.
I'm not that interested. I was just curious. Fan vad nice. Vad skönt också att han dog där på slut. Jag gillar ju sådana slut.
It's a simple binomial system based on the combination of two Latin names denoting genus and species.
Ah, så det är typ...
Homo sapiens.
Right. He did that.
Yeah.
Pretty boss.
Yeah. So it was called the binomial. Yeah, and that's what we use.
So technically, he was the first Homo sapien.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And with all those kids... Despite being a homo sapien.
No. Ah, I'm a closet homo sapien.
Yeah.
Oh, man, fan vad nice. Tack så mycket. Det var kul.
Yeah, man. That was Carl von Linné.
Jag vet vad ni tänker. Kan inte jag få ge pengar till de här sköna killarna?
Yes.
Det kan ni. Bli Patreons. Man bara går in på patreon.com/teachmesweden och blir en prenumerant kan man säga. Mm. Du får massa extra material. Du får se det här filmat om du vill se hur vi ser ut. Om det inte räcker med bilden som du ser när du klickar på podden. Och massa extra material. Vi har lite så här släkthistorier som vi går igenom live utan att ha förberett någonting. Och skoja lite om det.
Yeah.
Det är billigt också, eller hur? 10 spänn eller typ...
Just go to patreon.com/teachmesweden to give. Or you can leave a good review if you don't have the money to give.
Much appreciated.
Spread the word, that's appreciated as well.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Nice, man.
Yes, it's been Jonathan Rollins.
Och Erik Broström.
Teaching you Sweden.
Fred.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.